I'm John Krall. Few issues in contemporary American life generate more passion and more division than same-sex marriage. For some, the idea of two people of the same gender entering into a lasting union is little more than an acknowledgement of reality and an issue of basic fairness. For others, it is a violation of basic moral principles and an assault on the underpinnings of the social order. Today on No Limits, we will pick our way through this divisive issue with our guests, Rick Sutton of Indiana Equality Action, Kurt Smith of the Indiana Family Institute, and Kurt Miller, a professional who is in a long-term relationship with his partner. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the issue of same-sex marriage. We're fortunate to have as our guests Rick Sutton, who is the president of the Indiana Equality Action. Rick, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. Kurt Smith, also a president of the Indiana Family Institute. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, John.
It's good to have you here. And Kurt Miller, who is an Indianapolis professional involved in a long-term same-sex relationship. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And I should say, before we get started, in terms of withholding nothing from our audience, when I was the executive director of what was then the Indiana Civil Liberties Union, we filed the challenge to Indiana's ban on same-sex marriage. I want everyone out there to know that so that we aren't withholding anything. My goal here in this program, though, is to make sure that we have an even-handed and civil discussion about what is a contentious issue. So to get that started, I'd also like to invite our callers to join the conversation, our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, let's start, and I want to start really with a framework for where the argument is on this. Rick Sutton of Indiana Equality Action, I'd like you to start, make the case for same-sex marriage or same-sex unions.
The case is pretty strong. My constitutional protections of equal, my constitutional guarantees of equal protection are pretty relevant, and the public is actually way ahead of our legislators on that issue. For those of us involved in long-term relationships, same-gender relationships, it's a matter of fairness, it's a matter of equity, it's a matter of law. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of instances of Indiana and federal law that same-gender partnerships aren't able to benefit from that my parents can, simply because they're different gender married. So on a purely overall basis, we believe that our constitutional rights are being hindered when we don't have those abilities.
Okay, and we'll start then. Kurt Smith, on the other side, make the case against same-sex marriage or same-sex unions.
Well, again, thanks for having me on the show, John, and I'm sure you're going to be an even-handed moderator. I would even quibble a little bit with against, you know, same-sex. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, kind of language matters and words matter, but we're for marriage. We see mm-hmm. marriage as the most positive, powerful influence in society. It brings the next generation along in the most positive environment. There are other good environments for kids to be raised in, but the ideal, the best, the gold standard is their own mom and dad and until they're into at least young adulthood. So we're an advocate for that. We fight for that in myriad ways every day. But to see that challenged or redefined in any way gives us great concern. As I look back over the last 50 years or so, there's been several significant changes to the family culture, the family context, family law, certainly the sexual revolution and birth control, and that genie's out of the bottle. That had nothing to do with law. There were cases, of course, but that was just a medical technological development and a cultural shift. But in 1969, California instituted no-fault divorce, and it's really changed the dynamic on divorce. I think New York State just recently was the last of the 50 states to move away from the notion of fault divorce or finding a party at fault. And that has devastated marriage. Divorce rates are over 40%. We can kind of debate whether they're as high as 50, I think the best numbers show it's something a little bit below 50%. And then abortion, which also we saw as an assault on the family. And we think if we engage in a same-sex marriage, it'll be another injury to the family dynamic, and we'll begin to lose this most important, most stabilizing institution. We think marriage should be reinforced, not redefined.
Okay. Kurt Miller, we've gotten sort of the overarching philosophic points of view here. I'd like to take it down to the, how does it affect you? I mean, this issue, what impact would, at a human level, would being able to marry your partner have on your life and your relationship?
Well, we've been together for 23 years in September, which in most cases is longer than a lot of heterosexual marriages these days, for whatever reason. But how it affects me is that if one of us were to die, or if one of us were to be hospitalized, we don't receive the same sort of respect or opportunities or rights that heterosexuals do in their marriage. So whether marriage is the right term or not, I don't know. But what it boils down to is that we as a couple are not recognized in the same fashion that the heterosexual counterparts are. And I have heterosexual friends and of my family, and they respect me and love me regardless of how society terms our relationship. But when it comes down to the legal parts of marriage or a relationship or whatever you want to call it, we're not equal and we're not seen the same.
We are talking about the issue of same-sex marriage here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, Rick Sutton of Indiana Equality Action, I guess where I would like to take this then is assuming when you talked about the overarching case, and Kurt Miller kind of alluded to this. I mean, I have to keep those two straight. Since we have a couple of Kurts on this program, I'm going to have to use last names an awful lot. You made the argument that it's an infringement of constitutional rights and an issue of basic fairness. How would you address Kurt Smith's argument, though, that to some degree what they're concerned about much more is the chipping away of what they consider one of the building blocks of a stable society? Kurt Smith, am I framing your concern and your argument fairly there?
Very well stated.
Okay. How do you address that?
A couple of ways. I come from a stable family. As a matter of fact, we just returned from a family vacation where my parents celebrated their 60th. And I grew up in a neighborhood where everybody was treated the same. I understand Mr. Smith's argument. I don't think it's the role or duty of government to set up that structure or framework beyond simple estate and other kinds of laws. I think it's the role of the family, and the family is important to me, too, and I will not cede that ground to anyone. It's very important to me. I think it's impossible to blame same-gender relationships for the alleged or potential destruction of the institution of marriage. There are a multitude of reasons. We won't own that, and when we get full marriage rights, and we will, we'll be divorcing and marrying at the same rate that straight folks are. So I don't know why the difference is made. It makes no sense.
Well, and I guess, Kurt Smith, I'll come back to you. Uh-huh. I did notice in listening to this that, you went to some pains in your answer to say it's not so much we're against same-sex marriage, it's that we promote this. Is that a softening of the opposite? Because historically, obviously,
right.
there has been an adamant opposition.
Yeah, I don't support same-sex marriage. I don't support civil unions. But the argument I'm making here is that another insult or injury to the family, and I've detailed some of the other ones, I think would be negative. And the family is reeling, and the value of family is so essential. And all the research shows the gold standard for kids raising the next generation, bringing them along, is mom and dad. And when we embrace same-sex marriage, we say they're not going to have one gender as a parent. And I just am not comfortable with that as someone who sees the centrality of the family as so important to the success of the society. The benefit of the family is so strong and so proven that if you're pro-education, you're pro-family. If you're pro-economic development, you're pro-family. If you're pro, pick anything, it's that powerful an institution.
We are talking about same-sex marriage here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Your question, please.
It's maybe a question and sort of maybe more of a statement. I see marriage as a fundamental institution that is religion-based. I think that if two people want to coexist with one another, that's great, you know. But I sort of also feel that marriage was a thing that fundamentally was brought to us by God and Christ and religion. And so if you're going to go from a fundamental standpoint, that relationship was meant to be between a man and a woman and not a male and a male or a female and a female, because same-sex couples cannot procreate. I realize that there are many children in this world that need nurturing and guidance and are homeless or don't have parents that can guide them. But my point really is just that how can a same-sex couple request something based on religion that is not religious? If you're going to be fundamental about it, God is God, Jesus Christ was here and died for our sins, blah, blah, whatever. That's neither here nor there, a God of our understanding, let's say. And so how is it then that we should accept a same-sex relationship and recognize it as something that should be brought into marriage?
Thank you for the call and the question, Rob, and we will take it up right now. Well, I guess I'll throw this one first to Rick Sutton. That argument, obviously, that same-sex marriage is not biblically ordained, is one of the major points of opposition. How do you respond to that argument, the caller's argument?
I respond on a visceral and a personal level. I'll take a backseat to no one in my faith. I'm very involved in my faith, and I have been my entire life. Your caller needs a bit of a history lesson. Prior to Christ, archaeologists tell us that marriage was common. It was not ordained by a church or by a deity. It was ordained by individual families and tribes and kingdoms. However, in modern-day society, the word marriage has been equated mostly with Christian and Judeo-Christian-based values, and that's fine with me. I don't want to take anyone's interpretation of the word away. You can call it banana split if you want. I just want what my parents have in terms of equity and law.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kurt Smith, I guess what I would I would say is there a kind of cul-de-sac in that argument too? I mean, by that reasoning, if the church calls it marriage, you know, we've said historically in this country that Mormons can't have more than one wife.
Right.
But we've defined
and we've
it in
said,
legal terms.
Yeah, we wouldn't let Utah in the Union until they put that in their constitution.
Yeah.
I agree with the caller, and I agree with Rick in part about the religious nature of marriage. That is not our reason to be in the state house and to be championing this matter. I'm informed by my faith, but I think, you know, marriage is an institution that is way beyond the Christian or Judeo-Christian culture. The oldest law we have, I think, is something called the Code of Hammurabi or some stone that was unearthed by archaeologists, and marriage is in there. This is a pre-government, pre-state institution that is foundational to the stability of society. It's been reeled and rocked by developments, and I fear that a same-sex marriage redefinition would be another insult to marriage and would have a less prosperous, less stable society.
And Kurt Miller, at a personal level, again, does it matter to you whether you call it a marriage? I mean, at some level, I think we've all kind of danced around this. There are different terms. Marriage is generally considered a religious institution. In its legal, practical level, we're talking about a contract. Right. You agree to stand up in front of everyone and you say, I'm going to
provide support, love, all of that sort of stuff.
At the state level, it's
a contract. At the state level. Yeah. Does it matter to you what it's called?
I would say fundamentally, no, it doesn't matter to me what it's called. But if it's not called marriage, my fear is that other people in society will not view it as the same value or the same amount of love or the same rights and privileges that the classical term of marriage receives. So that's where I struggle. It's not that it needs to be called marriage, but I'm afraid that if it's not called that, it's not going to hold the same weight.
It's not going to balance the scales. We are talking about same-sex marriage here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. My guests are Rick Sutton, who is president of Indiana Equality Action, Kurt Smith, who is president of the Indiana Family Institute, and Kurt Miller, an Indianapolis professional involved in a long-term same-sex relationship. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking today about same-sex marriage. My guests are Rick Sutton, who is president of Indiana Equality Action, Kurt Smith, who is president of Indiana Family Institute, and Kurt Miller, who is an Indianapolis professional involved in a long-term same-sex relationship. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Your question,
Thanks
please.
Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just wanted to say that I'm angry that rights are being taken away from homosexuals. They have the right to family, and I'm just flabbergasted. I'm 23 years old, and I'm flabbergasted to see that our Constitution, which is made to define rights, was used to take those rights away. And your panel talked about abortion, but, I mean, homosexual couples are able to adopt children and make great parents. It's just unfortunate that any people are denied rights to love each other publicly. So that's what I have to say.
Great. Thank you very much for the call, Carrie. That argument, Kurt Smith, is that basically we don't treat gay people equally.
Right.
We hear that a lot. Is that a fair point?
I understand where Carrie's coming from. I disagree. Now, she's not going to like this answer, but first of all, marriage is not in the Constitution. It's implied and so forth, but the Constitution was more about how we're going to set up our government, checks and balances, and so forth. And family law and matters that were closer to home were largely left to the state or just to our churches and families and other institutions of the civil society. But when you look at it from a pragmatic point of view, no rights are being taken away. Everyone has the same rights. The conversation, which started in Massachusetts in the early 2000s, was we think something should be added. Same-sex relationships should be elevated to be the same as marriage. And that conversation has occurred in many ways across the nation and in the courts. 31 states have voted on this, and every single one of them has said, we want to maintain the traditional understanding and definition of marriage. Some states, like California, have responded to Kurt Miller's concern, and I think very well stated that I have a stable relationship, and I think it should be respected in law. Again, I'm anxious about that affecting the family, but California has tried to have a marriage amendment that preserves that unique and distinct relationship while also allowing civil unions for a way to. I don't advocate that for Indiana, but I think it shows that Carrie's heartfelt concern is misplaced because no one's rights have been taken away. Everyone has the same rights to marry or not marry. I can't marry a second woman under Indiana law. Some would say the Bible says that's permissible, but that's denied under Indiana law. I always joke with my wife, when I get the first marriage right, I'll work on another one. But it's just, you know, all these things apply to everyone the same, though I understand many people are not satisfied that the law is flexible enough or respects their unique circumstances enough.
Rick Sutton, we've got a ton of calls, so I'm trying not to belabor each point here, and I promise my listeners we will get to all of you, or as many of you as we can. But that, that argument that at some level your rights are not being infringed. How do you respond to that?
Well, under Indiana law, under the Defense of Marriage Act passed in 1995 and signed by Governor Bayh, and the Morrison v. Sadler case thereafter. The wild activist judges are running around doing stuff to us. It's comical to hear that I have the same rights when I have to spend thousands of dollars to define those rights with my partner of many years, whether I should I become ill or what would happen to my children and my insurance trust. I don't have the same rights, and that's a joke. And Indiana is poised to adopt a constitutional amendment that would further restrict my rights. So your caller's correct. It's going to happen if we aren't careful, and that's not good.
Well, and there have been responses. I guess the other way I'd like to reframe this a little bit. Is there any room for compromise on this issue?
I think under the Indiana law that's pending has a sentence that's particularly troublesome to us and has not appeared in precedent suggestions, and that is a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage. It's the most restrictive in the country, and not many states have gone that far. You want to talk about a judicial nightmare. What is substantially similar?
Mm-hmm.
Am I substantially similar to you because I'm a white male sitting beside you?
Yeah.
So there you go.
You have more hair than I do, but that's all.
Well, the jury's kind of out on that.
But yeah.
That's what we're scared of.
Yeah. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. Your question, please.
Yes, this is for, I guess, are there any studies that say that homosexual marriage is bad for the family? And if there aren't, how do you make that separation between the religious view on it and a legal view? You know, is there any legal standing for banning homosexual marriage? How do you separate that? How do you keep it from being church and state?
Thank you for the question, Bobby. Kurt Smith.
Bobby, there are many studies. Of course, this area is controversial, so people debate, back and forth whether they're satisfactory or sufficient. Until recently, the studies that were done, because this is a fairly new advent in the law and even in European cultures, there just have not been a lot of experience with same-sex parenting and so forth. So all the studies were relatively small groups. A researcher in Texas, Mark Regnerus, has recently come out with a study. It was published, I think, this month. There's a companion study, and I think the Journal of Family and other people are trying to get a larger database. I think we can say at this point that same-sex parenting is less than 2% of the population historically, and Regnerus reports that in 25 of 40 outcomes, kids are not doing as well. That finding is disputed because of the way he's lumping groups together. And it'll take more research. I mean, it's a great gig if you can get university research, because they always end their reports with, we need more research in this field. So it's relatively new. The research is getting more sophisticated. There's no way you can now put an assumption that same-sex parenting equals heterosexual parenting. That assumption can no longer be maintained after the latest studies. But there's still lots to be learned about this.
Rick Sutton, I'll let you respond.
Just ludicrous. Of course it can be maintained. I would point you to some other studies, but and peer-reviewed studies. The Texas study is under serious review for academic integrity, and we'll see where that goes. At the end of the day, I just ask anyone who's listening or anyone here today, what did we do to you to make you want to do this to us? We raise children. We take care of aging parents. We pay taxes. We do everything that you do, and yet you want to insert amendments into our Constitution to take rights away from us. It's just patently ridiculous.
Well, we are talking about same-sex marriage here on No Limits, and what we've gotten here, and to some degree, I think this email from a listener named Jack is an attempt to address your argument, Kurt Smith, okay, of the Indiana Family Institute. When your argument, and I'll reframe it real quickly, is that marriage promotes stability and provides, says gay marriage creates long-term stable relationships, and I don't see how it undermines society. It does not harm traditional marriages. How do you respond to that? I mean, part of the argument, obviously, that you would hear on the other side is that, we can't have long-term, stable, institutionalized relationships as long as we're precluded from having
sure.
it by law.
And, if you just take the word institutionalize out, you can, and Gary here is living proof, and I've just met Gary today. I'm saying Gary, I have no Gary, Kurt Miller, but you know, I respect Kurt, I respect Rick, I respect the argument that's just been made. I just disagree. I think that the idea of marriage is that, you know, whether we like it or not, we have a gendered ordered society, whether that's a creator who did it, as I believe, or it's because the muck got organized and crawled out of the ocean and started evolving, as others believe. We are a male and female society, and the next generation comes only through the interaction of men and women together to produce progeny. And that used to be at the heart of marriage. We've kind of lost that, but we can't lose the belief and the hard scientific proof that the best thing for kids is to grow up in a family with their own two parents. What happens with gay couples? I'm not really interested. And to answer Rick's question, I would say, why did folks file lawsuits and raise this question? I mean, I don't understand why people in a loving, intimate relationship want government stamp of approval. The reason the state's involved in marriage is because of kids, and because when it falls apart, the state has to pick up the pieces. And we spend billions of dollars in Indiana on that, and we're building prisons. We're closing schools and building prisons because families aren't working. I don't want any more insults or assaults on the family.
Well, I guess, and I'll say then that it seems to me the logical question then that comes out of that, though, if marriage is about children, then are married couples who don't have children not fully married? Is that not really marriage?
I think they are fully married. There's always that prospect and that possibility. But I do think the state's interest in marriage is largely reflected in that children are a likely, though not inevitable, outcome.
And we continue. Kurt, welcome to the program. We have yet another one.
Okay.
Two guests and now a caller.
Can I get another Rick?
Okay. We'll see. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I figured that another Kurt would probably be confusing, but I had to call. I'm a gay guy. I've been in a relationship for 26 years, and I am totally against gay marriage. Totally. I don't understand the argument on either side. I don't agree with the people who are against gay people getting married, and I don't agree with the gay people who want to be recognized in a marriage. We've gotten along just fine for 26 years. We've bought property. We have a great attorney. I'm not treated differently at the hospital. My partner has MS and has had for the last 18 years. We've never had any problems because we legally have covered all of our bases. We don't need marriage to do that. I think that in this whole overall case, if we gays would go more with the civil union title, if that's all we're worried about is the legalities involved and we want to be recognized legally, and have all the legal rights that everybody else does, then go for civil union. But marriage is a sacred, you know, sacrament. It's been around for hundreds of years, you know, between a man and a woman. Why are we shoving this down straight people's throats to make them hate us even more? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you for the call, Kurt, and the question. Okay, Kurt Miller, so that we can thoroughly confuse people out there as to who is speaking. Your response to that?
Well, I understand what caller Kurt is saying, and I'm hopeful that perhaps they've never had to deal with the death. I'm assuming that they haven't, since he refers to both of them. But when there is a gay couple who loses the other half, and if they own property together, despite whatever legal documents they have drawn up, there is a tax, an inheritance tax, that gets tacked on to the surviving party after that death occurs. It does not occur in a heterosexual marriage. If one of them dies, all the property automatically goes to the surviving spouse. But in a gay relationship currently, because we don't have marriage, we don't have civil marriage, whatever you want to call it, you will pay an inheritance tax on everything that you acquire after that death. So if you own a house together, too bad, you're going to pay tax on that. Any property that you have, you'll pay a tax on. If you don't have the proper documents drawn up, that property that you own will go to your the surviving parties or partners' family, and you will have to deal with obtaining that back from them or purchasing it from them, whatever. So I hope you never reach that point that you have to deal with that. I'm glad that in your healthcare environment that you're treated equally or as a loving couple, but that doesn't always happen either.
Well, and I'll throw this back to Rick Sutton real quickly. I'm sure that you've done some sort of analysis of how much not having, you know, the legal benefits and tax benefits associated with marriage cost same-sex couples.
And how much are they? Analysis that Studio Kurt just gave.
Studio Kurt, one or two, whichever.
Studio Kurt A. Yeah. Studio Kurt A. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah.
Kurt A. or Kurt Gay. Yeah.
Okay. For the record, Kurt Miller said that.
I think that Indiana's inheritance tax in particular, which is in the throes of being phased down and out over about 7 to 9 years, I don't know which year we're in, but for the next several years at least, that tax could be as high as 50%. Up to a threshold. So that's a lot of money. And when Kurt Smith says this is about children, make no mistake about it, it's also about money. It always has been and it always will be. So the analysis we've done indicates that there are hundreds of laws that affect same-gender couples. We're finishing an analysis with some IU law students that we're going to release this fall that lists all of those specific laws. We'd love to come back and talk about that.
Well, and I can tell by the reaction here, this is more than a single show. This conversation is going to be more than a single show. We have gotten...
Could I make a quick comment?
Sure, Kurt Smith,
I would
please.
Look forward to that analysis, Rick, and I'm glad you're pulling that together. It's not all... doesn't always work to the disadvantage of a gay couple. For example, there's a thing called the marriage penalty and income tax, and so... a married couple, both spouses report their income together and it gets taxed at a higher rate. Same-sex couple that wouldn't file married jointly, they would not have to pay as much tax in some instances. So it's a two-way street, though I recognize the bulk of the benefits are to a couple that has a legally recognized marriage.
We have gotten a question that came in via Facebook. It's directed to Kurt Smith and says, if your organization is pro-marriage, it seems to me that your organization would be against divorce. And I think you've established that you are. What is your organization doing, if anything, to ban divorce through legislative action?
We are working on divorce reform. I wouldn't say ban. Mm-hmm. Politically, we're not even going to go back to no-fault divorce in Indiana. We're also running a very large federally funded and state-administered marriage and relationship education project to try to help people, particularly low-income, at-risk people, many inmates and those who are receiving public assistance of one type or another, to develop marriage and relationship skills. That's neutral. It's not faith-based. It's just a skill-based set of things. So our legislative agenda and our programs we try to help give people the skills to be successful in marriage.
Well, I'd like to ask real quickly, because I think, reframe this question ever so slightly. Why is it that you don't hear the level of anger and animosity when you're talking about issue of divorce as you do with same-sex marriage and the passion from, and to be fair, from both sides? Why is that? What is it about this debate that just, you know, hits people at their core? Rick Sutton.
I think, in a way, Kurt Smith veered into that question earlier when he talked about the historical decline of the strength of what we now call marriage. When I grew up, everybody in my neighborhood was part of a unique family, and there were no divorces. And I remember the first one, and it was extremely unique. And we didn't know how to deal with it. It affected the whole neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I've been through a divorce. Mm-hmm. It lives with you every day. I think it's become more commonplace, and we've learned how to deal with it, perhaps not as well as we should have. It needs work. There's no question.
We are talking about same-sex marriage here on No Limits. My guests are Rick Sutton, who is president of Indiana Equality Action, Kurt Smith, president of the Indiana Family Institute, and Kurt Miller, an Indianapolis professional involved in a long-term same-sex relationship. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us.
Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about same-sex marriage. My guests are Rick Sutton, who is president of Indiana Equality Action, Kurt Smith, president of the Indiana Family Institute, and Kurt Miller, an Indianapolis professional involved in a long-term same-sex relationship. Jay, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm a heterosexual male. I have no problem with same-sex marriage. You know, it's just a title. I think it's kind of laughable that we hold marriage that is real important when we have all the divorces that we have. My father was divorced 3 times, married 4. My mother never remarried. So I was brought up in a community style. That's kind of my mother, my father, my grandmother. So there is ways to bring up a child other than just one man and one woman. But my big point is the abortion rates. You know, I'm pro-choice. I don't favor abortion, but I think that it's important to look at that the legalization of same-sex marriage could possibly fill that need for having an option to do with an unwanted child. So it could reduce the abortion rates by filling in the need for adoption with same-sex marriages.
Is that an argument for same-sex marriage, Rick Sutton? Thank you for the call, Jay.
To tell you the truth, abortion is a third rail, and I don't want to go anywhere near it. It's very difficult.
I've heard that argument made. I think Jay brings it together in a very clever way. The challenge with adoption and foster care is not so much the newborn, young, healthy child. It's the special needs, the child that's a little bit older, has a health concern or something. So while more adopting couples, whether same-sex or would increase the supply, the problem in adoption and foster care is not newborn babies, the abortion issue, so to speak. It's more older kids with special needs.
Kenny, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just want to say particularly to the gentleman who is against gay marriage, allegedly on behalf of straight marriage, that as long as marriage, any marriage, your marriage, you know, gay marriage, whatever, needs my tax money to be supported in the public domain, which is the case with any marriage. You know, any public institution needs public support, needs a body of laws, needs tax, you know, tax support, all of those for its efficacy. As long as that's the case, then marriage comes under the laws and under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, you know, equal protection. And as long as that is the case, then gay marriage certainly is entitled to protection of the protection of the 14th Amendment. I don't think it could be any clearer than that.
Well, the courts have not agreed with that, Kenny. And although there's minor things like courts and roads that we all use, couples that are married and have children typically are paying far more in services than they're receiving. Our kids, for example, we have 4 children. They're, as of yesterday, they're all 20 or older now. They did not attend public schools. We paid our taxes all those years in support of the local school, and that's fine. But we wanted them to go to a school where the things we believe and the values we cherish would be upheld. And so I don't think you can say that just because people are married and the law's there that, you know, that's all covered under the 14th Amendment. No court has agreed with that in American jurisprudence.
That's not true that no court has. There are some courts that have not agreed with that, and it's true these days you can find conservatives that will twist and contort the laws to get an outcome that they want. But the 14th Amendment is very clear about protecting every citizen in this country. Equal protection under the law, again, is very clearly stated in the 14th Amendment. You got some local courts, in fact, that have not upheld that. And again, even our Supreme Court, the conservative majority has from time to time contorted and twisted the precedent and logic to come out with a bizarre, result. But the fact is that history, the trajectory of history, is going definitely in the direction of gay marriage because it's the right thing to do under fairness, for human fairness. This is the way humanity works. The arc of justice is long, but of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Fortunately, that actually has been the case for humanity.
Thank you very much for the call, Kenny. Well, that the argument really that that there is a kind of I'm going to take a step back and reframe this. It seems to me there are a couple of ways to take this. Since the issue really should be about the state's role in terms of defining marriage, I mean, is there an argument to be made that we should just get government out of the business of defining who gets married and who doesn't? Rick Sutton, and then I'll go to Kurt Smith.
Well, with respect to probate and other things, it's probably impossible to get the government completely out of it. With respect to how we treat one another, the government's already in it. They have been for a long time. I guess I would hope that, and first of all, I want to thank that caller. It's my first cousin lobby is there, I see.
Oh, okay.
He's correct. Mr. Smith, you have to know how it feels to be sitting in our shoes and have these laws proposed. It feels like a boot heel in the face, and we've done nothing wrong. So what we really want is our 14th Amendment protections. The ground is moving underneath us quickly, and it's going to get there. It's just a matter of when.
Kurt Smith, I'll give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made. I think Rick's right, though, that given the complexity of human relationships and dynamics, the courts are always going to be involved in probate and unforeseen circumstances come up. Medical technology is changing, so the state will be involved. But I again ask the question, why would those who are in a same-sex relationship, why would they want the state to be involved in codifying or blessing their relationship in some way? I don't see it as a boot heel. I see the role of the state, the state's interest, as being involved in family law because kids are born and problems arise.
We've gotten a tweet from a listener, John, who says, ask panelists about their comfort level with using a term other than marriage to describe the legal civil union that is at stake. Kurt Miller.
Well, I've already addressed that, but I'll say it again. I don't necessarily feel that it has to be marriage by name, but if it's not, I don't think that the rest of society will recognize that relationship as having the same weight or merit as the traditional heterosexual marriage. So I know I'm kind of flip-flopping on what my response is there. I would prefer marriage as the term, but I don't want people to get hung up on that as being the whole reason not to allow same-sex unions, relationships, whatever.
Aaron, welcome to the program.
Calling with a question for Kurt Smith.
Sure.
Basically, regarding this argument, which I feel is sort of a bait and switch, it seems as if. Hold on.
Aaron, you're breaking up on us a little bit. Are you at a place?
Sorry. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yes, it seems as if there's sort of this argument along the lines that family values are deteriorating, and then there's the abortions and divorce, which is cited. But then when it comes to gay marriage, that's somehow associated with all that. I think they touched on that earlier, but I'm just curious. It seems like the only tangible consequence that's been cited is this very tenuous notion about the upbringing of children, and like has been mentioned before, the studies are very contentious. I'm wondering, is there anything more empirical or more tangible where the presence of gay marriage is seen as deleterious on the institution of marriage?
Well, you can
Thank
read
you
the research,
the question, Aaron.
I mean, the Regner study and Institute for American Values has a lot of really good objective information on their website. I think they're now up to 35 benefits of marriage. Rutgers University has a Center for Family Policy and Study, and kind of they are clearinghouse for all things about family and marriage. And it's cleverly titled. They do an annual report called The State of Our Unions. So those are materials you can go get and read and research. I read them that marriage is in trouble, and anything that will redefine marriage is dangerous. And as I said earlier, we think we should reinforce marriage, not redefine it.
Gotten a question from an email question from a listener named Emily, who says, does Indiana not want to retain, and attract smart and valuable members to its workforce? Let the brain drain continue. And then says, thank you for discussing same-sex marriage and No Limits. The more dialogue, the better. Let's start with the brain drain question. And then I think I'm going to take the last one point here, too. Is this one of these things where more dialogue is better? Start with a brain drain first. Rick Sutton, are there consequences to this? That
I think the climate for economic development and the retention and recruitment of top-notch companies and people is shifting quickly, and the younger generation, by every peer-reviewed study, indicates that they just don't care. And in fact, when units of government become a little bit too snoopy and get too far into this, they recoil. People don't come to Indiana because of our oceans or our mountains. They come here because we're good people. So we've got to do something to make sure that we recruit and retain. And it's a big issue for younger people today. I think it's only going to get more so.
Kurt Miller, I mean, obviously there are states that permit, people of the same gender to enter into something resembling marriage. Have you thought about leaving Indiana because of it?
Well, as a matter of fact, my partner did leave. It was for work, but there have been thoughts that I should follow him to where he moved. And there are times, if it weren't for my family largely being here in Indiana still and a great network of friends, I probably would have followed him to California where he moved. I do have a number of friends who no longer live here because of Indiana's, call it what you will, but I'll say backward philosophy towards homosexuals and people wanting same-sex benefits and rights. So my employer fortunately does recognize same-sex benefits, so I'm fortunate there. And I know that there are more and more companies that are recognizing that. With the religion aspects, certain churches have now approved same-sex marriages. Mm-hmm. So things are better as long as they're all recognized within the state. I think we'll retain those forward-thinking and young, smart people.
Kurt Smith, I'll let you go with the last point there. Is more dialogue better?
Absolutely. And I am very grateful for the respectful tone here today. Now, that may be the public policy equivalent of we need more research. So, you know, we want to have opportunities to talk about issues. But I think it's healthy for the community to hear different points of view, again, in this kind of a respectful, civil tone and setting. And we would like to have people understand our perspective at the Family Institute and those we represent as being for marriage, not being against gays. We're not some hate group, even though I think we're listed on some, you know, watch list somewhere as hate mongers.
Libby, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Your question, please.
Okay. My question is for Kurt Smith, and it has to deal with the fact that I've often heard groups who oppose same-sex marriage justify their opposition basically by statements that they believe that same-sex marriage somehow threatens, and as I think you have stated today, threatens a heterosexual marriage. But I have yet to hear someone with that position actually state specific reasons for believing that same-sex marriage threatens heterosexual marriage. And it's just, you know, there everybody has fears. There are rational fears and there are irrational fears. We act upon rational fears, but we don't act upon irrational fears. So why is it, if you could state specifically, why is it this fear that same-sex marriage will threaten heterosexual marriage? Why is that a rational fear?
Thank you for the call, Libby. Well, Kurt Smith, I think that one is directed toward you.
Yeah, two quick observations. You know, the point is not that, you know, Kurt Miller's long-term relationship doesn't threaten my wife's and my marriage of 32 years and four children. We live in the same county, and when I see him in the community, I'm going to, you know, shake his hand and say hi and ask him how he's doing. But when it comes to marriage, to say that these relationships are equivalent, that's not appropriate. My older son will get married here in 9 days, and, you know, he and his fiance are making that commitment one to another. They're doing it in their own way. They've written their own vows. And, you know, if the message from society and government and culture and the media and everyone else is marriage, you know, yeah, it's good. You know, it's good if it works for you. I'm glad my mom and dad got married. But, you know, you guys just figure it out on your own. We're going to have less marriages. we're going to have more social issues and more challenges. And also, when you say same-sex marriage, I think it sends the message that parents aren't that important, that it's just two people sharing the carpool, the rides, you know, that. I think you're saying, which parent don't you need, the mom or the dad? Now, not everyone agrees with that, and some don't see that as a tangible risk. I do.
One of the people who doesn't agree with it is Kurt Miller, obviously.
Well,
I saw you shaking your head.
I'm shaking my head because just because you're a same-sex couple doesn't mean that you can't have children. I have plenty of friends who I would say are better parents than a lot of heterosexual parents who I see out in the world today. So that argument, to me, doesn't hold a lot of weight.
Rick Sutton, I'm going to give you the last word here real quickly.
Well, and thank you very much for everybody here. Mr. Smith, you waited an hour and waited 56 minutes to veer into the insult, and that was insulting. To somehow presume that my relationship of 14 years is less important or less valued to me than yours is to you.
My point is there's a different weighting or value for society.
Well, society needs to look at mine the same way they need to look at yours. No differently. That's guaranteed to me in the Constitution. That's irrevocable.
That's why we're here.
And I want to talk about this more. I want to thank all of you. We have sadly run out of time here, but I want to thank my guest, Rick Sutton of Indiana Quality Action. Rick, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Kurt Smith, who is of the Indiana Family Institute. Kurt, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Kurt Miller, I want to thank you for joining us as well. I apologize. We did not get to all of the listeners. I've got literally a stack of emails and calls and all of that. We're going to talk about this again. We're going to invite everybody back. So please, thank you for spending this time with us. We will be back next week when we're going to be talking about public safety in Indianapolis. I'm John Krall. You've been listening to No Limits. Have a great week.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.